As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. 1 Peter 4:10.
I am Rob West.
When you think of stewardship, the first thing that comes to mind is probably money, and that's certainly important. But biblical stewardship requires what are often described as the three T's: time, talent, as well as treasure. We'll talk about that and then take your calls at 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Christians are well aware that we're to give back to the Lord from our first fruits. Malachi 3:10 tells us, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test," says the Lord of hosts. "If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." And Proverbs 3:9-10, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." But stewardship involves much more than our treasure. We must acknowledge that God gives us many gifts, including time and talent. And we must give back a portion of them as well if we're to be truly faithful stewards. You have been given skills and talents that the Lord wants to use for His kingdom. Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 7. It reads, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And again in Romans 12:6 through 8, Paul writes, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them in proportion to our faith. If service, in your serving; the one who teaches, in his teaching; the one who contributes, in generosity; the one who leads, with zeal; the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." So, let me ask you, are you giving back a portion of your talents to God's kingdom? You might not think you have many talents to contribute, but that's never the case. We all have skills and abilities that God can use. For example, if you're in the business world, you have a unique opportunity to share the gospel with those who don't yet know Christ. You come in contact with many different people, like associates, customers, and vendors. And while doing that, you can make a strong witness for Christ by treating people with honesty and respect. It's probably not a coincidence that when Jesus called the 12 disciples, many of them owned and operated businesses as tradesmen and commercial fishermen. It would only be reasonable to assume the disciples used their contacts and past relationships to witness for Christ. So we all have God-given talents. Are you good with children? Those skills can be put to use in the church nursery or babysitting for a single mom or dad in your neighborhood who needs a break. Maybe you're good at repairing cars, or you're a great cook, or you like to paint. And yes, some people actually do. Or maybe you have time you can spend with an elderly shut-in down the street. Putting time and talents to work for others not only fulfills your calling for stewardship, it provides a great witnessing opportunity by reflecting the love of Christ and a chance to invite someone to your church. So don't think you have nothing to give. God can use just about anything to advance His kingdom. For example, the staff of Moses in Exodus 4:3-4, it reads, "Then he said, 'Throw it on the ground.' So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. But the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail.' So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand." The point is this: if God can use an ordinary object like a stick to perform miracles, imagine what He can do with you, a real live person made in His image. God wants you to give of your time and talents because He loves you and wants you to experience the spiritual blessings of giving. Luke 6:38 reads, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you." Now, how much time and talent you give back to God is between you and Him. And in 2 Corinthians 9:6, we see the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. If you're generous with your time and talents as well as your treasure, you'll no doubt hear the words one day, "Well done, good and faithful steward, enter into the joy of your master." All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If you've ever gone through the process of buying a home, then you know the most important thing: location, location, location. A house could have great bones on a lot of land, but it's not in the right place. Its value is dramatically different. Where you are has a deep connection with who you are, and as believers in the Lord, this truth couldn't be more encouraging. More than 50 times, the Apostle Paul tells us where we are in Him, in Christ. We walk in His love, we live in His presence, and that makes all the difference. Apart from Him, we're hopelessly lost. But location, 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 in Him, we're bestowed with the greatest love, love that gave itself for us. Spend more time with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is where we apply the wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices. You know, folks, after answering thousands of questions on the radio each year and counseling hundreds and hundreds of families on this topic, what I've come to understand is that most people, or many people, have a good bit of fear, frustration, and guilt in their financial lives. But it's also been my experience that those that are most free from the emotional byproducts of financial decision-making are those that have answered really two questions. The first is, who owns it? And the second is, how much is enough? You see, the answer to the first question, who owns it, requires that we acknowledge that, as Psalm 24:1 says, God owns it all, and therefore we're stewards, and money is now a tool to accomplish God's purposes. But the second question, and how much is enough, requires that we understand that God's provision should be handled with contentment and joy and satisfaction, that we already have an abundance, and This life is not about the mindless accumulation of wealth. Doesn't mean we shouldn't save, but we should have a plan. We should be on our knees asking the Lord, what lifestyle have you called me to? How much should I be saving? And how can I use what you've entrusted to me to join you in the grander story that you have for me? And that is to participate in your activities through my giving. Well, when we approach our money that way, understanding God owns it all and that money is finite, and our role as money managers for the King of Kings, we need to understand the master's heart so that we can reflect his wishes in our management of his resources. Well, it requires that we define how much is enough. Think about that today and see if it doesn't change your perspective on handling God's money. All right, we've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. Whatever questions you have, we'd love to tackle them. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's right, 800-525-7000. Give us a call and we'd love to chat. Let's begin today in Tennessee. Tom, you're our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
My name is Tom. I listen to your show regularly every day. I really enjoy it.
Well, thank you.
And I invested a fairly good size amount of money and lost $3,500 the first year, and I couldn't do anything with getting it out or anything until after a year. I'd just like to know what your opinion is on it, if I should just go ahead and cash it in and put it in the credit union where I can make the money back that I lost.
Yes, sir. Well, I understand that, never like to lose money. So I totally get that. And yet investing involves a risk, which is why we always ensure that the time horizon on the money we're investing is right, meaning at least 5 years, uh-huh. Preferably 10 years or more, and that the investments are appropriate for our goals and objectives. Clearly, we want to take a portion of what God has entrusted to us and save it for the future. And one of the ways to offset the effects of inflation, which we're feeling now more than we have in 40 years, in terms of decreasing our purchasing power, because inflation is eroding the purchasing power of our dollars, one of the ways we offset that is by putting it to work. So long as the investments and the time horizon match, the investment strategy. So you mentioned that you lost $3,500, Tom. What was the total investment?
$80,000.
Okay. So on $80,000, you're down, about a little less than 5%, maybe 4.5%. And you said that was over the prior 12 months. Is that right?
It's been over a little over a year.
Okay, a little over a year. So if you're down 4.5% on this $80,000 investment during the last year, which was the most challenging market we've had in more than a decade, it's actually not too bad. What type of investment was it, Tom? What did you invest in?
It was mutual funds, and the company is called the ON Equity Sales company out of in Ohio.
Okay. And do you know the mix of investments, stocks to bonds?
No, I don't. There was mutual funds and a lot of smaller, conglomerate of different things.
Okay. Very good.
Not really all that good on.
That's okay. Yeah, no problem. And what is the purpose of this money? Is this money that you have earmarked for a certain purpose at this point?
No.
Okay, so this is not money.
You can't have too much money in it.
Yeah, and so you just wanted to put it to work, but you don't need to supplement your income with this, or it's not earmarked for something specific down the road. It's really just your long-term savings, correct?
Yeah, it's just a savings, yes.
Yeah, okay. So as long as this doesn't include the money from what I would call your emergency fund, which if you listen to this program, you hear me talk about having at least 3 to 6 months' expenses in a liquid savings account that's secure, not at the risk of the market. And in the retirement season of life, some folks want somewhere between 6 and 12 months of reserves. As long as it's separate from that and you've got a long-term perspective, then for the reasons I mentioned, because of what's happening with inflation, I like the idea of you keeping it invested. And actually, despite the fact that, again, nobody likes to lose money, being down 4.5% over the last 12 months is quite remarkable when you're invested, because, you know, most folks were down 20%+ last year in the market, just given, how significantly we saw the declines in the equity markets. And then the bond markets were falling as well because interest rates were rising. So in my view, this is not the time to sell. Could the market go down further from here? Absolutely. Most economists are expecting some sort of recession this year. Most think it might be mild, depending on how aggressive the Federal Reserve is in getting inflation down to its target of 2% and how significantly they continue to raise rates. We could see a more severe recession. And if we do, the market will likely sell off. But it will recover, in my view, and it'll happen ahead of the economy, which is why it's best not to try to pick our entry points and exit points. We want to pick a long-term investment strategy that makes sense for our goals and objectives in terms of the balance of cash, stocks, and bonds, and then stay with that long-term plan unless something changes. And it doesn't sound like anything's changed. It's just that, you know, that you started investing during a very difficult season in the market, coming off of a raging bull market that, you know, was 12 years plus in the making. So from my standpoint, I don't see a reason, or I'm not hearing a reason, why you'd want to take this and go to cash. I would let this recover, and to the point why you did it in the first place, I'd probably stay invested so you can grow this over time, even though the last year was challenging. The question is this the right investment? Obviously, I know nothing about the fund or the makeup of the investments in the fund that you selected. And so could it be that there's a better option for you? It could be. You could visit with our friends at soundmindinvesting.org. They could give you some suggestions, or you could connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Tennessee to get some more customized or active management of these funds by a professional advisor. You just go to our website, faithfi.com, and click Find a CKA. But just kind of staying at a high level and not talking about the merits of this particular investment, I like the idea of you staying invested, Tom, just given everything you've told me. Does that make sense, though?
It does. But the thing is, what I was thinking about is that the credit union, it's a guaranteed 4%,
yes,
you know, over a year's time.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. So let's do this. If you don't mind holding the line a bit longer, I've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about that and specifically whether that's a better option. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net, and sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Let's talk about your financial questions today. I've got two lines open, perhaps one just for you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Just before the break, we were talking to Tom. He invested $80,000 in a mutual fund a little over a year ago. He's down about 4.5%, about $3,500, and just wondering, is this time just to put that money in a savings account, perhaps a CD at maybe 4.5%? And Tom, you absolutely could do that. I think, you know, the key here is anytime we invest, we do want to take a long-term view on it. Yes, you're down a lot less than the market, given that you're invested in stocks, and last year happened to be just a really challenging year. What I was saying was it'd probably be best to take a, if this money is money you can take a long-term view on and it's not part of your emergency fund, I think you'll do better over time, you know, keeping it invested. I think the rates we're seeing on the CDs are temporary just while, you know, the Fed is fighting inflation. But if you'd sleep better at night knowing that this money is guaranteed, then you probably, you know, don't need to be in the market, because anytime we're investing in the market, although our return potential is greater, we certainly are taking risk, which means we absolutely can lose principal, which is obviously what happened to you in this case. So are you feeling like perhaps the market is just not the place for you and you'd like something more guaranteed?
Yeah, with the credit union I'm with, it's up a little over 4%, and I've got a substantial amount already in the credit union, and just buddied with this $80,000. If I just get back that amount in a year that I lost already, then I think I'm just sort of defeating the purpose of it's not some money that I can't do without, but I don't want to just give it away.
No, I totally get that. I guess here's the only reason why you'd want to consider leaving it there is that, you know, the market is selling at a discount right now. And obviously you have lost some value. I see it recovering. And again, if you've got a substantial amount that's already in a guaranteed account, earning a more attractive interest rate than certainly it's been earning previously, then you could look at this money and say, okay, with at least this portion, I want the potential to get a little better return, and I'm willing to take the risk that comes with that, because I'm not investing for a quarter or a year or 2 years. I'm investing for 5 to 10 years, and that's the best place to grow my wealth and offset the effects of inflation. But if you're just not comfortable with that, you're the steward, Tom, and you know, it may be that you just need to kind of cut your losses and shore up this and keep, you know, only guaranteed accounts in the future, you know, because obviously this could continue to happen, even though I think the long-term perspective would be, you know, giving you the ability to grow it a bit more than you could get in bank products. Does all that make sense?
It does. I really appreciate it. I enjoy your program every day.
All righty. Thank you, sir. God bless you, Tom, and all the best to you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Arkansas. Hi, Georgia. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I just have a real quick question for you. I'm hoping to retire within the next couple of years, and I've got Microsoft as one of my stocks. And it keeps going down and down and down. You know, go up a little bit, but then it keeps going down. Should I sell it and buy something else?
Yeah. Talk to me about your portfolio. How much do you have invested, and how is that money invested? For instance, how much is in this one particular company, Microsoft, versus which other holdings you have?
Okay. Altogether, I've got like $65,000. And okay. And then in Microsoft, I've got around $3,000 in there.
Okay, around $3,000 of your $60,000. And is the rest in mutual funds, or do you only own individual stocks?
I own individual stocks.
Okay. And are they all mainly in the technology area, or would this be
no,
one of the only ones?
That's one of the only ones, because I have like Caterpillar. I've got Home Depot. Loans,
sure.
You know, things like that. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I think, I mean, most economists and market analysts are saying that, you know, this is the year that we're probably going to see a continued growth in three sectors in particular: energy, consumer staples, and financials, just given what's going on with interest rates and the economy. Most folks are expecting technology to be among those that are still lagging moving forward. Now, the good news is you've only got 5% in this particular company, and we don't weigh in here on specific companies in terms of how they're doing and what we expect them to do moving forward. We stay at a higher level just in terms of our approach to money management here on this program. But what I would say to you is, if we just look at that sector of technology, you know, although most folks don't think that that will be one that will outperform this year, you know, I like the fact that you're saying I only have 5% in technology. So you're not highly concentrated there by any means. But if you were asking, is that a sector that's expected to do better this year, given how poor it performed last year, despite, you know, prior to that, it was, you know, obviously a leader of this bull market. Most, I would say, market analysts think that technology will continue to struggle in this high inflation, higher interest rate environment. So we're probably looking toward the value stocks outperforming the growth stocks. Here's the key, though. You know, whenever we're investing, Georgia, you know, we want to take a long-term view. And so even though one part of being diversified means that portions of our portfolio aren't going to perform as well in certain economies and markets, but we're diversified because we don't want all of our eggs in one basket. And the one that's out of favor now may be in favor, you know, down the road, and we don't want to try to time that. So I guess from what I would say is that on a short-term basis, you should probably expect technology to continue to underperform. But I think an allocation to technology is still appropriate for a long-term view. And that's the way you should look at this, not for a quarter or even a year, but for 2 and 5 and 10 years down the road. So I think from that standpoint, what you're describing makes a lot of sense to me. Thanks for checking in with us today. We appreciate you being a part of the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Cindy, we're coming your way next, and perhaps your question. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985.
My wife, Jan, played in the marching band in high school and then in college. They all had matching uniforms. But when they played the music, nobody played exactly the same thing. As believers, unity of the faith, we're not the same. We're different. We have different parts to play. But there can be unity as we play our part in Christ Jesus.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
At Faith and Finance, we're on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly Faith and Finance patron? Check out all of the benefits of a Faith and Finance patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
The Lord has come, and He is radically changing lives in prisons and countless other points around the globe. Hearts of stone are made into hearts of flesh. Prodigals are coming home.
Rick Robertson encourages brothers and sisters to continue in prayer for those who seem far from the Lord. The Spirit can reach even hardened criminals, and we know He can reach prodigals in your family. Read Rick's article, The Lord Has Come, at afa.net/thestand.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, where we apply the wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions. You know, here in this higher interest rate environment, one of the challenges is that variable rates are rising, which means your home equity line of credit. It also means your credit cards. Well, how do we approach debt as believers? Well, I don't believe that borrowing is a sin, but there are clear warnings in Scripture about the use of debt. So how do we know when we should borrow? Well, before we head back to the phones, here's four quick questions you can ask before you borrow that perhaps can lead you to the right decision on whether you should do it at all. Number one, is the economic return greater than the economic cost? Basically, that just means only borrow for assets that are appreciating. Number two, am I presuming upon the future when I take out this debt? Anytime we borrow, we should have a guaranteed way of repayment. The Bible talks about that. It's this idea of surety. Are we presuming upon the future when we borrow, or do we know how we're going to pay it back? Number three, am I denying God an opportunity to provide? If things are tight, am I trusting the Lord for His provision, or am I allowing credit to rob God of that opportunity to provide? And then four, and this is critical, do I have unity with my spouse? I should have an absolute commitment to borrow only when my spouse and I are on the same page. Hopefully, those four questions can help you make a good decision as you think about borrowing moving forward. All right, 800-525-7000. I've got a few lines open today for your calls and questions. Let's head to Texas. Cindy, you'll need me next on the program. Go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to ask some questions. I've been divorced for 1 week. I did not want to get a divorce, but it was something that my husband wanted, so here I am.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm 64 years old, and so what I got out of this divorce is a home, and it is paid for. And then I got $200,000 cash, but here's the weird thing about it. The judge has allowed him 24 months to pay me the $200,000 because he said he needed some time or whatever. Anyway, so I didn't really have a say in that.
Yes. Oh, Cindy, I believe we lost you. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So my question is, you know, that's given him 24 months to pay me the money.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, what if he goes up tomorrow and files bankruptcy? Then I would probably never get any of the money. I should just be positive. Hopefully, you know, it will all turn out. So,
yeah. Cindy, I lost you there again for a second. Quick question. So is he paying you $8,000 a month, or how is that going to be paid?
He doesn't have to pay me any of the $200,000 for 2 years.
I see.
He's got 2 years to pay it for me, but he will be paying me $1,500 a month spousal support.
I see. Okay. Okay. Yeah, and so what is your most pressing question at this point? And I realize there's a lot on you right now that you're still trying to work your way through, okay. But how can I help?
So number one, my question is, when I get the $200,000,
yes,
I believe I should pay tithe, because the whole time I was married to him, he would never let me pay tithe. So that's of concern to me. And then also, given, you know, my age, I don't know how risky, or, you know, when you're 60 or 65, what do you do with lump sum money like that? What's a good way to invest in real estate or hide it under my mattress? I mean, I just don't know what to do with it.
Yes. Well, Cindy, first of all, let me just say the Lord is near to you right now. I know you have a lot on your shoulders. I'm so sorry to hear about your divorce, and I'm grateful that you want to trust the Lord moving forward, and that one of your first things you're wanting to do is give to the Lord, which says a lot about just kind of where you're at as you're journeying through this and your ultimate dependence upon Him. You know, giving, when we loosen our grip on money, it's a demonstration that God's economy is the real economy, and that we free ourselves from the constraints of our own mini kingdom. And we recognize through our generosity that God's provision is more complete and that we can trust Him. And I love that the Lord is leading you to do that. And I would just encourage you to follow the leading of the Lord in whatever you decide to do with your giving. Beyond that, I would seek some wise counsel here, Cindy. This is a great opportunity for a godly man or woman, a financial advisor, to come alongside you, to encourage you, to be there as a support, to help you make decisions around your money management, including what insurance do you need, and answer any questions you have about the future and how you should plan, but also how this money should be managed. Because whatever's left over after whatever the Lord leads you to give, I believe it should be put to work. And that investment strategy has got to be based on your needs. So do you need to generate an income from this? Or, you know, between your spousal support and perhaps the work that you do, are your bills covered? And therefore, this can just grow for the future and be available in retirement. How can we systematically move this into a retirement account so it's growing tax deferred? And then to your question, what are the investments that should be selected? Not because somebody thinks they're the best ones, but because they align with what your ultimate goal is. You know, again, whether that's income or just capital appreciation. So I'm going to recommend that you connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Texas to find two or three to interview and find the one that's the best fit. I'd go to faithfi.com. That's our website, faithfi.com, and just click find a CKA. And I think somebody who really understands God's heart and understands the scriptures, but also has met the high standards required to earn that designation, would be someone that could journey with you. And I think that's, especially in this season right now, what you need. Obviously, getting that person selected prior to you receiving this money, which could come, to your point, next week or 2 years from now, is going to get you to a place where you can do some planning, you're ready with a plan for how this money should be managed, and then you can execute that plan along with this advisor once that time comes. Does all that make sense, though?
Yes, it definitely does, and I will take your advice, and I will find that advisor, CKA.
It stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor, CKA. And when you go to the website, faithfi.com, just click find a CKA. And let me pray for you before we let you go. Father, we just lift Cindy up to you, Lord. We know that you are near to her right now. We know that she has a lot weighing on her right now. And yet she has expressed to us that one of the first things she wants to do is give unto you. And I just pray that you would Lord, just bring the Holy Spirit, just give her peace right now, that you give her clarity, that you'd give her a vision for what you have for her in the next season of life, that you would provide for her, give her wisdom, and surround her with people that know you and love you, that can be an encouragement and a support to her right now. And we just tell you today, we trust you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Cindy, God bless you, and thanks for calling today. We're going to take a quick break here in a moment. Diane, Eric, Verdell, we're coming your way just after the break. Before we head to our break, though, let me mention something exciting that we're thinking about right now, and that is the preborn. As here at American Family Radio and American Family Association, we want to encourage you to partner with ministries supporting those that are supporting the preborn. And preborn ministry supports hundreds of Christian pregnancy clinics around the country, providing life-saving services like ultrasounds. If you'd like to be a part of our preborn campaign, you can go to afr.net and join and give right now. We'll be right back.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
No more tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Take a time out in the corner.
Refuse to allow anything, whether they be relationships, whether they be friends and family members, whether they be a Supreme Court refusing to hear a case, whether they be any election results, no matter what it is, refuse to allow those things to eclipse the preeminence of Christ in your lives.
The Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on AFR. The podcast is available anytime at afr.net.
45,000. That's how many times Faith and Finance referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Just before the break, I was mentioning that we're partnering with Preborn Ministry that supports hundreds of Christian pregnancy clinics across the country. They provide, through these centers, mothers who choose life with maternity and baby clothes, diapers, and car seats, and counseling, plus ultrasounds, which are so key. And if you'd like to partner with us to support Preborn Ministry, we'd like to invite you to do that right now. Your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life. If you'd like to be a part of this, consider a gift of any size. It all makes a difference, and you can give online even now at afr.net, or you can call, here's the number, 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. And thanks for partnering with us. All right, back to the phones we go. Diane, you've been very patient there in Virginia. How can I help you?
Hey, well, thank you for your program. We love it.
Well, I appreciate that.
We have been renting houses for about 10 years. We sold two of them at different times and did not like the tax implications.
Yeah.
So we are looking now to try to coordinate the sale of the last two so that we can do a 1031 exchange.
Yes.
And buy one condominium. We are currently living in a single-family home, but we want to plan for the future to downsize and not have to do any maintenance ourselves.
Yeah.
So do you think this is a good strategy to try to use a 1031? We did it one other time when we bought a condo and then bought the rentals, but the real estate agent didn't seem to know how to do it, and we missed out on some of our opportunity, and we don't want to have that happen again.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, go ahead.
Also, in my little research trying to figure out about this 1031, I saw a reference to a deferred sales trust, and I'm not sure what exactly that is and if that is a better option.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I would say, first of all, the 1031 exchange is a great way to defer capital gains. That's what a deferred sales trust will do as well. But that's for any asset. In the case of the 1031, you're simply accomplishing that specifically for real estate. So as long as you can comply with the requirements of the 1031 exchange, which means you have to identify the replacement property within 45 days and then conclude the exchange within 180 days, then the 1031 exchange is a fairly simple way to do that. To the point about your current realtor not having a lot of experience, you do need to find a qualified intermediary who can help you with this, either a CPA with 1031 exchange experience or a real estate attorney or a reputable title company, somebody who could really help you walk through this, because these are not done every day and a lot of folks just don't have the experience. But yeah, as long as you can replace it with a similar property and meet the IRS code and do that within the right time frame, then kind of kicking the can down the road, so to speak, on the capital gains is a great opportunity for you to allow that investment to be maximized into the next property, as opposed to having to realize that capital gains right now. So I like that plan a lot, and I would find somebody who's experienced and qualified in this that can navigate this for you.
So you don't see any other way that would be better to try to shelter the taxes and not to pay the taxes? And we would have to put all the funds that we have in both of the homes into this condo, and we're okay with that. Even though both of them have a mortgage on it right now, we would be, you know, able to do that. So this is probably the best vehicle.
Yes. The only other option would be whether or not you want to do any charitable giving here. And if you wanted to do that, that's another way to avoid the capital gains, is to take a portion of these properties and transfer them on a percentage basis into a donor advised fund. And then it, you know, when the property sold, then that percent that was given to the donor advised fund would go directly into that fund, and then you could give it away and the tax is not realized at that point. So, I think you mentioned the deferred sales trust. You could talk to an attorney about that. That's where a trustee would manage this property when it's put into the deferred sales trust. And you can acquire assets and financial instruments. And, it's typically used for investments that are disallowed by other capital gain deferral methods. But that's where a 1031 exchange, if it is specifically real estate, is going to be a lot simpler for you to do, as long as you can comply. So I think your two options to defer the capital gains here specifically for real estate, Diane, would be either the 1031 exchange, and you need some competent help with some experience to help you navigate that, or, as I mentioned, if you wanted to do any charitable giving, giving away a portion of the property or properties before the sale is another way to eliminate the capital gains and allow you to do some charitable giving.
Right. We already have a donor advised fund, and we are using that to shelter some of the money, and also we are doing our required minimum distribution.
There you go. Good.
We have that in place.
Excellent. Okay. No, it sounds like you're in good shape there. So I think your next step is to start working to identify those properties so that you can comply with the 45 and 180 day rule, and then find a qualified intermediary to help you navigate all of this. All the best to you guys. Thanks for your kind remarks about the program. God bless you, Diane. Let's head to Arkansas. Hey, Eric, how can I help you, sir?
Yes, I was wondering about an index universal life policy for, like, trying to use it for retirement.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not a huge fan of using insurance products for retirement savings, except in certain situations. You know, it does provide, you know, tax deferral, and there is more flexibility in the IUL policies. And it offers permanent coverage, life insurance coverage, as long as the premiums are paid. But there's no guarantees as to the premium amounts or the market returns. And so, you know, I think it, you just need to understand what it is you're solving for here. And often, you know, I find that using just a straight retirement vehicle where you have a little more control over the returns in directly the investment strategy is better for long-term retirement savings than an insurance product. And then just do your, you know, get your life insurance coverage through a term policy. That's my preferred approach, unless there's some reason why you want to use the insurance product for retirement. What is it you're trying to accomplish specifically there versus just a straight retirement account?
That's pretty much the only reason why I was going to use it was to try to make money for retirement.
Okay.
And I'm maxed out in my 401 through work.
Okay. Yes. Okay. And
would like a Roth or something like that be better?
Yeah, I like the Roth a lot, and you can do that in addition to your 401k, which would allow you, if you're over age 50, to put another $7,500 a year away. If you're married, you could obviously double that with a spousal IRA. So I like that a lot. That would give you tax-free growth on that money. I'd probably do that first. But one of the benefits of you know, an insurance product like an IUL is once you've maxed everything out, if you're still looking for a tax-advantaged environment to grow for the future, you know, you have the ability to do that because you can design the policy to meet your investment goals. You can decide how much risk you want to take. And you get, you know, tax-free capital gains. So there are certainly benefits there, but I'd probably start with the Roth first. And then if you get to the place where you still are trying to put more away beyond that, then you could look to the IUL. The downside is, you know, there's a cap on the returns. So that, you know, you typically set the maximum participation rate somewhere less than 100%. There's no guarantees and they have high fees. So you've got surrender charges, fees and commissions. You've got the riders and the administration expenses and all of that. So for that reason, I'd like just a straight retirement account as my go-to before I'd look to an IUL.
Okay.
All right.
But it sounds like a Roth would be a whole lot better then.
That would be where I would start. And again, if you get to the, if you're trying to play catch up, maybe you're a little behind in your retirement savings and you've got your, you know, your retirement plan at work maxed out and you hit the cap on the Roth. And I think that would probably be the time to look to an insurance product, but I'd start with the Roth. Eric, thanks for checking in with us today, sir. God bless you. Verdell in New Jersey. You'll be our final caller. Just a minute and a half left. How can I help?
Yes. I was watching one of the programs, Christian television, and a pastor was saying that tithing has nothing to do with money. Now, I've been a tither for 40 years, and I just can't believe that I have gotten it wrong for 40 years. He took me to Deuteronomy 14, 22, and 29, and I still don't understand how he was able to determine with Deuteronomy 14, 22, yeah. 29, that Malachi, when it speaks of tithing, has nothing to do with money.
Yeah, I would take issue with that. Unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of time to unpack that. It was an Old Testament concept. There was actually three tithes in the Old Testament, one for the Levites, one for the temple, one for the poor, which was every 3 years. So they were given 23 1/3% of their income. And then they would make offerings of their first fruits at the beginning of the harvest. And then there was additional giving beyond that. But, you know, so the giving laws went far beyond 10%, even though the word tithe means a tenth. But I would say it absolutely is our giving from our increase. And it's a great principle to apply today as a starting point for our giving. But then I think we should give beyond that. Perhaps we'll unpack this a bit more on another broadcast. Thanks for bringing it up, Verdell. So glad to have you along with us today. Let me say thanks to my team, Robert Sutherland, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick. I hope you have a great rest of your day. And come back and join us tomorrow, would you? I'll be here, Lord willing, to do it all over again. May God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.